that was why she thought it had only grown more beautiful. Looking over at Luca, an eerie feeling settled inside of her, something that sunk to her soul, and she asked, "Why did you start gardening?" Asking him a question was a dangerous thing, since the answer would be nothing less than the truth. You just had to be prepared for the answer. His eyes turned the most beautiful shade of green she had ever seen as the sunlight played off them. It almost hurt to stare back at him, but to look away from them would be impossible. "I did it for you," he revealed the answer she already knew. "When I saw you under that gazebo for the first time, surrounded by the snow, I wondered what you would look like surrounded by flowers instead. Then I wondered how much more you'd love it out here." Swallowing hard, she finally managed to look away from him, taking in that piece of information and trying her best to understand it, to understand him.
"I'll never understand him."
Luca stood. "Stay here." She watched him take his now empty plate and water bottle into the house. Then he returned a minute later, putting on his gloves and moving to the same spot where she had found him when she had come out here. "Come help me, darling."
"Huh? What?"
"There's an extra pair of gloves in that bucket." He pointed to the bucket as he slipped on the last glove. "You want to help me? Or do you want to stay in the house all day again?" She thought about the calculus she really didn't want to do before she stood and went over to the bucket, pulling out the spare gloves. She put them on before she came over to Luca and got on her knees on the ground beside him. "Do you know anything about gardening?" he asked. Shaking her head, she figured she was in way over her head right now. He laughed, sensing her thoughts. "That's okay. I'll teach you." She swallowed.
"Okay."
"I'm just cleaning up the garden, getting rid of weeds and any dead flowers." He showed her how to do so by explaining what the weeds looked like and how to spot which part of the flower was dead. "Now you try." Going to the next patch of flowers, she carefully removed the weeds surrounding it and clipped off a now dead bulb.
"How was that?"
Luca grinned. "Perfect." For the first time since being here, she smiled.
"You were right."
Confusion marked his handsome face. "How?"
"I do love it more."
His features went back to his usual haunting appearance, knowing she was talking about her loving it more surrounded by flowers. Good. Chapter 13. Good Night.
"Is his leg getting closer?"
Chloe focused on the television screen, trying her best to ignore the heat coming from Luca's leg next to her. She had thought it was getting easier, but tonight, she felt like there wasn't enough space between them. Strands of hair moved off her neck, causing her to look back, and when she did, her breath caught in her throat. Luca was twirling a piece of her black hair. "Did you enjoy that today, darling?" His voice was as dark as the strand he expertly twirled around his finger.
Yes,
she quietly spoke. "Would you like to help me finish up the rest of the gardening tomorrow?" Her nerves over watching him continuously twirl her hair made her blurt out, "No." The stand he held fluttered to his lap, falling along with his face. "Okay."
"No, I mean..."
She turned to better face him. She hadn't meant the word to come out as harsh.
"I would like to, but I can't."
"Why can't you?"
"I haven't finished my calculus assignment, because..."
Looking down at her hands, she began wringing them.
"I don't really understand it, and I have a test coming up."
"Oh." He once again picked up the strand of hair, beginning the twirling motion again. "If I can get someone to help you with your calculus tomorrow, Would you want to help me garden on Monday instead? She looked up from her hands, stunned.
You would do that?
Yes, darling. He grinned down at her. Even if you didn't want to help me. Chloe found herself strangely smiling back.
If you're sure you can call in Monday to get off work, then I would like to.
He seemed to be amused by what she said. I'm sure. Unsure of what she had said, something told her she didn't want to ask.
Okay.
After he gave her hair a final twirl, she sensed a longing in him as the silk left his fingertips. You may go to bed now. Standing felt different than it had the other times. She felt the same release she usually did, but she didn't feel the need to run.
What's wrong with me?
She slowly began walking away, trying to figure out this other feeling that seemed to be scratching to get out. Good night, Chloe. Turning back to him, her heart stuttered.
Good night, Luca.
Where the fuck is she? He slammed his fist down on the desk. The two other men in the room looked down at their feet before one finally spoke up. We still haven't found her yet. How fucking hard is it to find an 18-year-old girl? When he slammed his fists down on the table again, he shot up. It's like she disappeared, like she fell off the earth. Going over to them, he pulled a knife out of his pocket and put it to the man's throat. Do you remember what we did to her? The man began shaking as he nodded. Your daughter is her age, right? He lightly slid the blade over the man's now crying face. You either find her, or I'll show you how a girl fucking falls off the face of the earth. When the man nodded again, he let him go, and the two flew out of the room. Sitting back at his desk, he leaned far back in his chair, closing his black, ominous eyes. The image of a 14-year-old her came to his mind as he started dreaming of the past. The girl was starting to lose consciousness, and her now traumatized gray eyes began to drift away. There was something he enjoyed about seeing the eyes change from the person they once were to the person they were after he was done with them. It was his mark, how he claimed them. He had taken away the young girl she once was and made her into his beautiful creation. Her body, her mind, her soul belonged to him and always would until he took away her last dying breath. Her eyes rolled to the back of her head before her eyelids closed. Good night, my little girl. Chapter 14. Not even God could save a man who lays his hands on you. Coming down the steps the next day, she heard a voice talking to Luca that she didn't recognize.
Has someone found me?
Their voices drew nearer, and then she could see a man in a suit with light brown hair. Luca noticed her then. Chloe, I want you to meet Sal. Chloe knew of Sal, had seen him around the Carusos when she had been with Elle, but she had never seen him so up close, never took a look into his deep black to deep blue eyes. Something about him made every hair on her body stand up and every alarm go off in her head. Hello, Chloe. He gave a wicked smile. It's nice to finally meet you. Frozen in place, she could only stare at the well-groomed man. Sal came to watch you and help you with your calculus while Drago and I take care of some business matters.
He did?
Her shaky hands clasped together and squeezed. Lucas stared at her for a moment before his voice turned dark. Come with me, darling. The command made her follow him through the house and down a hall. He opened a door and then waited for her to go in first. Stepping into what seemed to be his office, her heart began to pound, then beat out of her chest as he shut the door behind him, closing them in. Now alone, lines of worry marked his face. "Tell me what's wrong." Still trying to shake Sal's eyes out of her mind, she tried her best to speak.
I just don't know him."
He took a step closer to her. "Drago is much scarier to look at than Sal, and you didn't know him either, so don't lie to me, darling." Biting hard on her lip, she thought she was going to draw blood soon.
"I don't know why he scares me."
Luca took another step toward her when she didn't answer.
"I don't know," she whispered. "I feel like I know him, but I don't."
Taking a final step, he pinned her against the big desk behind her when she tried to put space between them. They were barely inches apart when he picked up a strand of her hair and twirled it in the same motion he always did. "Do you think I would leave you with just anyone, Chloe?" Her chest fell as hard as she raised it. It was strange, and she didn't understand how. But somewhere, deep down, she knew he wouldn't.
No.
"Do you think I'd ever let someone get close enough to possibly touch you?" He pulled her hair ever so slightly around his finger, his eyes traveling down her pale face to her neck. "When I have yet to touch you first." She slowly shook her head, biting harder into her bottom lip. She was sure this was it. When he was finally going to touch her, though she wasn't ready.
"Please, not yet."
He looked at the dark silk he spun. "I keep twirling your hair around my finger, because this is as close as I can get to touching you for now. I promise you, no one else will ever touch you in this house or outside of it. Not even God could save a man who lays his hands on you." The pressure in her lip lessened, and she breathed easier. She believed every word he said, but what scared her was that it also put her at ease. She was almost grateful about the fact she wouldn't have to worry about anyone ever harming her, let alone touching her again.
"What is happening to me?"
Luca gave her a few inches of breathing room. "I consider Sal my only friend, but he's also more than that. I'm closer to him than I am to Nero, who's my own brother." This was one of those times he allowed any emotion to show. "My father took Sal in when we were young, and we were raised together. Sal may not be my blood, but he's my brother. I trust him with my life, and I trust him with yours. He won't hurt you, darling." Luca wasn't the type of man to put trust in anyone but himself, so she would trust him at his word that Sal wouldn't hurt her, regardless that Sal made the hair stand up on the back of her neck.
"Okay."
He gave her a smile before letting the strand slip from his grasp. "Drago and I will be back as soon as we can." Nodding, she put on her best brave face as she followed Luca out of his office and back to where Sal was waiting. She sat down at the kitchen island with her laptop while the men talked quietly amongst themselves. She couldn't help wringing her hands to the point her nails dug into her palms. Never did she think she would ever wish Luca wasn't leaving her. Not until now. Chloe was left with two thoughts. The first, she wondered why Drago had been the one to watch her every move when it was Sal who was his real friend. The front door closed, and she heard footsteps get closer. Turning her head, she swallowed hard, trying to keep down the unknown fear of the man Luca called his brother. Her other thought,
why does he remind me of him?
Chapter 15. The Monstrous Name. Staring out the window at the emptiness surrounding them, Luca focused on the dirt path, waiting for the cars to come into view. The Caruso family had arrived 2 hours earlier to scope out the place, something the possible enemy should have done. Their black Cadillacs were lined up in front of the empty warehouse, and each soldier was packing in case this was the year the Lucianos decided to end the peace. Once a year, the two mafia families of Kansas City had a meeting on equal ground outside the city. It was a way to keep the peace between them, to keep another war from happening, as the last war had almost wiped out the Luciano name. Luca began flipping his lighter open and closed, not removing his eyes from the road. Since joining the family every year to the date, he had come here feeling nothing. This year, however, he couldn't help feeling an uneasiness in the air. He was starting to lose his patience. He didn't like leaving Chloe at home while he was this far away with only Sal there to protect her. "If I didn't want to see him, I would leave." Finally, the cars started appearing. Luca watched them pull up and the men get out. He observed each man until he finally saw the one he was waiting for. Luca slid his lighter back into his pocket, hearing it hit the other metal object. Pulling out a big, heavy gold ring, he stared at the design of a rectangle with a stamped horseshoe in the middle, surrounded by small diamonds. The warehouse door opened, prompting him to slide it back into his pocket. Turning around, he looked at the two long tables facing each other. Dante sat in the middle of one table with his consigliere Vinny to his right. There was an empty seat to Dante's left for him. However, he was waiting for the Lucianos to fill up the other table before he headed toward his seat. Before he sat down, he placed his pack of cigarettes and lighter on the table. Then Luca listened to the two bosses commence the meeting, not once speaking. Instead, he took in the men. The Lucianos looked like the polar opposites of the Carusos. Just as much as the Carusos looked immaculate, the Lucianos looked rugged. The men who did wear suits were far from the expensive Italian ones the Mafia was so often known for. Grooming wasn't much of a requirement for them either. Some men were also covered in tattoos from their hands to their necks. They were a rough-looking family, matching their surroundings of the rough area of Kansas City they owned. Here in this warehouse, the Carusos looked out of place, while the Lucianos looked at home. A pair of dark-haired twins, mostly covered in tattoos, sat to one side, while on the other side was a hawkish man with brown hair, who seemed to be doing the same thing Luca was, taking in the enemy. It was Luca's job to know each and every one of them. The three were brothers, sharing the same father, but only the twins had the same mother. Angel and Matthias were younger than their older brother Dominic. He and Luca were both the underboss of the family, under their father. However, even though Dominic was slightly older than him, he hadn't been the underboss for as long as Luca had. It was only a year ago that Dominic had taken the title. Pulling out a cigarette, Luca held it between his lips while he flicked his wrist, bringing the flame from his Zippo to light the end. He inhaled deeply as his eyes traveled to the man sitting in the middle of the table. The Carusos called him by his last name, Luciano, but to his men, he was known by another name, a name his men gave him out of respect, a name to be feared. Dante told Luca long ago not to call him by the monstrous name because he was anything but, and he wasn't to be feared. Luciano adjusted his suit jacket.
"Before we end this meeting, you know I have to ask you, Dante, for a bigger territory over Kansas City."
"You should know the answer to that by now, Luciano, and my answer has yet to change after all these years."
A snide smile came to Luciano's thin lips.
"I was hoping this would be the year we could forget that part of the contract."
Maybe we should forget about the whole contract then. Luca knocked his cigarette ashes onto the floor. I think time is making you forget how close to extinction the Luciano name is. It was the Carusos who wanted to end the war and decided to give the option of the contract so the Luciano name wouldn't die out. Tell me, how many of you are there now? Two of Luciano's men moved to stand behind him, while the only one to move behind the Carusos was Drago. The empowering man was bigger than the two Lucianos combined. Luciano slightly flexed his jaw.
Me and my three sons will continue the Luciano name.
Luca smiled as he inhaled deeply from his cigarette. Yes, and thanks to the generosity of the Caruso family, you can continue to do so on the agreed-upon territory. The air in the spacious warehouse seemed to be sucked away. Not until Luciano nodded his head did the air return. Dante then nodded, standing up as he buttoned his suit jacket and bringing the meeting to a close. Luciano also stood, and the two men came out from behind their tables to shake each other's hand.
Glad we could have another successful meeting. I'll see you next year, Luciano.
Till next year, Dante.
The two men dropped each other's hand, and then Dante led the Caruso family out first. However, Luca continued to sit there, watching his men and the Lucianos leave the warehouse one by one, until only himself and one other remained. Finally, he stood up, stepping on the little bud that was still smoking from where he had dropped it. Picking up his cigarettes and lighter, he put them back in his pocket while grabbing the heavy ring that weighed on him. The cold man looked him up and down.
Next to your father, you look like he was sitting at the wrong table. You could almost pass for a Luciano.
Almost. He rolled the ring between his fingers, walking toward the only other man in the warehouse.
Yes, well, we both know what you look like when you clean yourself up.
As Luciano's voice turned dark, Luca's turned darker. Yes, we do. Holding the ring out for him to view, Luca continued. Have you seen this ring before? Picking up the ring, Luciano's face began to match his voice.
No, I haven't. Why do you ask?
Luca flashed a cryptic smile.
I'm trying to find the owner of my new dog.
Understanding his innuendo, he gave the ring back.
I'm surprised you didn't put the dog down.
I like dogs. He put the ring back in his pocket. Luciano seemed amused by his choice of words.
Goodbye, Luca.
Luca stared into the soulless black eyes of the man before him.
I'll be seeing you, Lucifer.
He had wanted, needed to call him by the name, to show there wasn't one man Luca was afraid of, not even the devil himself.
Soon.
Chapter 16. From the Worst to the Best Types of People. Even though Sal was Luca's friend, she expected him to hurt her at any second. She couldn't help it. It had become ingrained in her. Sal raised an eyebrow.
I take it you decided not to turn in the assignment.
Huh? You're the one through the computer, right?
Laughing, he took a seat next to her after pushing the chair far enough away from her to give her plenty of room.
Yes? Do I not look like a guy who could program your computer?
No, yes, I mean, I don't know, I just thought you worked with Luca, Drago, Nero, and the rest of them. They don't really seem to be the computer type.
I do work with them.
He looked at her in confusion.
Luca hasn't told you what line of work we're in yet?
Now she was the one who stared at him in confusion.
El told me everyone worked for Luca and Nero's father at the casino. Do you all not?
An amused look came across his face.
Well, yes, I run the security there. I make sure everything runs properly, and I set up any new equipment.
So the rest of them work in security, too?
Yes, in a way.
Chloe could tell by the look on his face that she seemed to be missing something. Don't ask. You probably don't want to know. What does Luca do, exactly?
I think this is a question you should ask Luca.
Looking down at her hands in her lap, she squeezed them. I've been kinda afraid to ask him. I know he will tell me the truth, but I'm not sure if I want the full truth. I just wanted a gist of what he does to see if I should ask.
Okay, well...
Scratching his head, he seemed to be thinking of the best way to put it.
His father is the president of the casino, and Luca is the vice president.
Really? I had no idea he was that high up. He doesn't wear suits like the rest of you.
Sal snickered.
Oh, yes. He is about as high as you could fucking go in the fam. I mean, at the casino.
She found herself smiling at the thought that Luca wasn't as bad as she thought he was. Well, that's not bad at all. I thought he might be into something illegal.
Well, I wouldn't...
What about Drago? He looks scary enough, like he's in security. Another silence of thinking.
Yes, he's Dante's personal bodyguard.
She looked back down at her hands. What about Amo?
He definitely works security.
Sal's snickering had begun again, seeming to find Amo's job the most amusing.
He is? It was starting to make sense to her. He does look like a younger version of Drago.
Yep, he works on the lowest level of the casino with Nero and Vincent.
Continuing, he wore an even bigger smile on his face.
Amo specifically loves his job. Nero and Vincent have actually requested a position change from the basement.
Biting her lip, she felt confused. The three were almost inseparable, so she couldn't imagine why Nero and Vincent would want to leave when Amo didn't. How come Nero and Vincent don't like their jobs? Again, the wheels seemed to turn in Sal's head as he tried to figure out the best way to place his words.
Nero and Vincent don't like the view from the basement, but Amo doesn't seem to mind.
Must be too gloomy for them. I can see that. Amo isn't picky and is much easier to please over Nero and especially Vincent. Those two always have to get their way when we pick where to eat.
Yeah, like I said, you should really ask Luca about this stuff. I probably told you too much.
I don't think Luca would mind. Or she didn't see why he would. She knew he would tell her if she was brave enough to ask.
Well, if you tell him what we talked about, be sure to tell him that I told you Amo loves his job.
He winked.
Luca's the one who placed them there and would like to know at least one of them likes it.
I will. By the way Sal was acting, something told her she might want to hold off asking Luca about his job anytime soon.
So, are you ready to start your calculus assignment, or is there something else you're too afraid to ask Luca?
Chloe couldn't believe it. Her fear of him had dissipated almost immediately when they had started talking. Sal seemed like the complete opposite of Luca, so warm and inviting, and unlike what his deep black to blue eyes had told her. Shaking off any remaining fear of him, she couldn't believe she had thought Sal reminded her of... Chloe opened her laptop, unable to even put Sal's name in the same thought as a complete monster. Is something wrong, darling? Luca set his spoon down, watching her twirl hers in the homemade vegetable soup.
I can make you something else if you don't like it.
Chloe looked up from her soup, realizing she had traveled deep in her thoughts. No, so sorry, it's really good. I was just thinking, is all. He watched her take a bite of her food with a fallen look on her face.
Did being with Sal still bother you after I left?
No, I liked him. He was nice. She liked how Luca only questioned her misplaced feelings of Sal in the beginning, and not the fact that Sal might have upset her or done something to her. It showed her how much Luca trusted him, and that she could trust Sal too. The strong bond between the two was obvious. Just like Elle and I. Seeing Luca and Sal together made her want to be with her best friend.
Then tell me what's wrong, darling. Is there something I can do for you?
I just miss Elle. We used to talk every day, and I feel like I haven't talked to her in forever. I don't even have a girl to talk to here, and I think it's just making me miss her more and more.
A deep, thoughtful breath came from his chest.
I'll see what I can do.
Really? Really?
I can't promise you anything, but I'll see what I can do to make you more comfortable.
It was strange to think he would do that, considering he was holding her captive. She was slowly starting to learn that he wanted her happy for some reason. She was grateful for whatever reason it was.
Smiling, she told him,
"Thank you."
After that, Chloe was able to fully enjoy the delicious meal.
Dang, he's really a good cook.
She hadn't had one bad meal since being here, and already she could see herself weirdly missing the food when she was finally set free.
"So, you liked Sal, huh?"
he asked, grinning.
"Yes, he was really nice to me and patient while teaching me how to solve the problems."
"Good."
Looking over at him, she saw that Luca didn't seem surprised by her answer.
"You knew I would like him, didn't you?"
"Yes, everybody likes Sal. I haven't met a person who doesn't like him, from the worst to the best types of people."
Chloe didn't doubt it.
"He's like a genius, isn't he?"
Looking up from his food, he stared directly at her.
"He's not like a genius, darling. He is one."
By the serious expression on his face, it was clear that Sal was even smarter than she believed to be possible. She just couldn't believe the polar opposites took to one another. She wasn't sure if he would answer, but she was too curious not to ask.
"Why did your father take him in?"
The question didn't seem to bother him in the least.
Sal had lived on and off the streets with his mother since he was a baby, but by the time he was 10, his mother had OD'd. She'd had been dead a while before my father picked Sal up, and after that, he became family.
"That was nice of your father."
He nodded.
"Yes, my father took to Sal. He liked him better than he ever liked me. Sal is definitely the son he always wanted."
Sadness washed over her at his statement. She felt bad for the young boy who thought he wasn't the son his father wanted.
"I'm sorry you felt that way."
"Don't be sorry, darling. It never bothered me. I was never much for feeling anything, especially toward my father. I was glad Sal was able to have a relationship with a father figure, even if it was mine. He deserved it more than me."
She bit her lip as she stared down at her food, feeling every word he had said and knowing there was no jealousy of the relationship Sal had with his father.
Dang it.
She really wished he would stop surprising her with how little she understood him.
"I'm glad you two found each other then."
His eyes turned that beautiful shade of green.
"And I'm glad you like him. It means a lot to me that you feel comfortable around him."
The crazy thing was, she had. She even felt comfortable with Scary Drago. The question was, how? She wasn't comfortable with anyone, especially men. However, not once had she feared they would even touch her. Chloe remembered then that, when Sal had sat down, he had pulled his chair far enough away from her and was very careful not to touch her during their tutoring session. It was the same with Drago. He was always careful of the distance between them and to not come close to touching her. Looking into the green eyes before her, she now knew why, and it had been in front of her the whole time.
You told Sal and Drago to be careful around me, didn't you? Smiling, he answered,
Yes.
What did you tell them?
Luca leaned in, caressing a strand of her hair.
That they are only allowed to get so close to you.
He twisted the strand around his finger once.
And that they are to never touch you unless it is life or death.
Another twist made the strand wrap around the length of his finger.
Or I'll fucking kill them.
A cold tingle trickled down her body. She saw it in his eyes then, that he would even kill a man he considered a brother if he touched her. There was no question about it. She was sure he wouldn't even second guess it.
Why?
He caressed the strand wrapped around his finger with his thumb.
For you.
It turned out that she not only never understood him, but
I don't know him at all.
Chapter 17. Is today the day you want to die? Luca parked his car in the parking garage, right in front of the door he expected the person he was waiting for to come out. Getting out, he leaned against the hood of his classic black Cadillac. Then, pulling out a cigarette, he lit the end. It was his first cigarette of the day, still being early in the morning. He sucked the contents faster than usual as he waited. Then he pulled out another one, wanting to savor it. It was rare for Luca to need help, but he was going to ask for it. He needed to ask it from probably the only person who understood him, the only person who knew how his mind worked, because their mind was like his.
We both hear the whispers.
Finally, the door opened, and he heard the clicking of heels. The man to come out the door first held his hand up, stopping the person behind him. When he realized it was just Luca, he exited, waving for the one he held up to come out. The clicking of the heels moved closer until the stilettos stopped right in front of him.
Why does it look like my big brother wants something from me?
Luca motioned to the two men standing behind her.
Leave us. I'm taking Maria to school today.
No, you will not. I'm pissed at you. Don't leave me with this psychopath,
she yelled after her bodyguards. But despite her effort, the two men made their exit. Removing the cigarette from his mouth, he looked at his sister incredulously.
I'm the psychopath?
Maria crossed her arms.
Yes, you are an unstable and aggressive person who lacks empathy and remorse.
She was obviously spending too much time in her psychology books.
First of all, I'm the stable one, you're not. But I think you are forgetting a major part of that diagnosis. A real psychopath appears normal and charming, hiding the fact they are aggressive and lack empathy and remorse.
Taking one long and final hit, he tossed the bud to the ground.
Now who does that sound like to you? Because it sure as fuck isn't me.
Uncrossing her arms, she flipped her long golden hair behind her shoulder.
You were never good at hiding your true colors. Unlike you, I like the surprise when they find out I'm crazy.
Because you are a true fucking psychopath.
Maria went silent for a moment, becoming serious.
Yes, but if I'm a psychopath, what does that make you?
The question wasn't meant to be answered, because the question was an impossible one to answer. They both knew Luca was too fucked up for a definitive diagnosis. Folding his arms across his chest, he was done talking about who was more fucked up.
So, why are you mad at me?
Stomping her expensive heel on the pavement, she huffed.
Because you kicked us out of the house.
I thought you liked it here. You're able to get into more trouble.
I was before they amped up security. I practically have someone going into the bathroom with me now.
Ah, the poor, poor mafia princess. He pretended to care.
You know I don't like it when you call me that, Luca.
We both know that you do. Otherwise, you wouldn't act like one.
It was her turn to change the subject as she went toward the passenger door. Are you taking me to school or not?
Luca moved swiftly, not letting her open the door.
No, I need your help with something.
She tapped her heel again.
That depends on what it is.
He gave her a warning look.
You'll have to keep it a secret, or I'll have to kill you.
A wicked smile touched her lightly pink lipstick lips.
I've been waiting for this day for a long time, Luca. I hope you've saved up enough money for the blackmailing I'm going to put you through.
Opening the door for her, he laughed mockingly at her.
No one's been able to blackmail me so far, princess.
She patted him on the chest.
Oh, poor, poor Mafia Overlord. I know your secret already. I've just been waiting for the upper hand.
Mafia Overlord? Have you been watching movies with L again? Never mind. Just get in the fucking car. You don't know shit.
A perfect eyebrow rose. Tell me, Luca, is having her all to yourself everything you ever dreamed of?
His voice went dark. Get in the fucking car.
I guess Amo doesn't stand a chance now with Clo-
Placing a cold hand over her mouth, he shushed her.
Tell me, Maria, is today the day you want to die?
Chapter 18. Sure to make any girl succumb to him then and there. Chloe was sitting at the kitchen island, eating her toast with orange juice and wondering why Luca wasn't already up. He had always been well past awake by this time, and he had told her they were going to finish the gardening today. When Drago entered the room, she expected Luca to follow behind, but he didn't.
He's not here. He left early this morning,
Drago told her as he made himself a cup of coffee. She looked at him, wondering why he had said that.
I didn't say anything.
Maybe not, but you were looking for him.
Trying her best to swallow her dry toast, she clasped her hands together.
No, I wasn't.
Taking a drink of the dark liquid, he stared her down for a long, hard minute.
Are you sure about that?
No.
The front door opening saved her from having to answer the embarrassing question. Drago smiled, keeping his voice low for only her ears.
Looks like he's back just in time for you.
Turning, she saw Luca come in with what appeared to be a blonde
Maria!
Drago practically slammed down his coffee cup.
Oh, fuck no.
Maria came in, smiling from ear to ear like the beautiful goddess she was.
Hi, Chloe.
Hi, Drago.
No, no, no. I can see where this is going, and I'm not having any part of it. I signed up to watch the one too scared of her own shadow, not the spawn of Satan.
Spawn of Satan? Looking over at Maria, who was dressed in a light rose-colored dress with nude pumps, she looked like a beautiful angel. Chloe always thought of her as one, too. She was the sweetest person in the world. Maria looked like she was about to cry.
That hurt my feelings.
He laughed.
What feeling?
You are being rude.
Chloe spoke without thinking, becoming angered by the man.
Maybe you need to go back to sleep because you're not being very nice this morning.
Maria had to put her hand over her mouth to keep from laughing as Drago's face fell. Grinning, Luca stepped forward to stand beside Chloe.
Was he mean to you, darling?
She thought about it for a long moment as she stared at a now pissed off Drago. He had been trying to push her buttons about Luca just a few minutes ago, and she had half a mind to say yes.
Or I'll fucking kill them.
But she figured she would spare his life.
This time. No,
she smiled at Drago, brave only because Luca was a step away. Taking his coffee, Drago started to leave the room.
I'll watch them from the security room, but if they burn the house down, don't expect me to save them.
Now that he was gone, Chloe's focus went to Maria. I can't believe it, you're here. She had sometimes felt as if she no longer existed, but now that someone was here who was actually her friend, she felt alive again. Yep. Maria smiled happily down at her. Give me a second, I'll be right back. She watched Maria head toward the stairs, then looked back at Luca, not understanding. But why? He gave her a smile unlike the one she had seen before. It was like a smile Vincent would give her, except it was more deadly and sure to make any girl succumb to him then and there. I told you I would see what I could do for you. She had to pull her eyes from his, afraid the smile would work on her. Oh. Like always, he picked up a strand of her hair. I know we were supposed to take care of the garden today, but I thought you would enjoy being with Maria more. Watching him twirl her black hair around his finger was almost mesmerizing. Does tomorrow sound okay instead? Yes. Looking away from the twirling was hard, but she finally managed to look back up at him. Thank you, Luca. Another deadly smile made her heart skip a beat. You're welcome, darling. They heard Maria start back down the steps, and Luca started to twirl the strand slower, like he was savoring it. I'll be back later tonight. When is later tonight? Where is he going? The thoughts that popped into her head scared her to her bones. Why did it matter? It shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. The footsteps were now closer, and right before they were too close, the black lock fell from his fingertips with a final twirl. Maria walked in, now wearing pink shorts and a tank top, carrying movies. Okay, now we're ready for a girl's day. Chloe's cheeks started to feel warm. If Maria had walked in a second earlier, she would have thought something was going on between Chloe and Luca. Maria started pushing Luca out of the way while she sat the movies down. Okay, bye now, Luca, you can go. His dark voice came out as a threat as he walked away. Remember what I said, princess. Her voice seemed to carry her own threat. Don't worry, I'll play nice, Overlook. Goodbye, darling. Have fun, because I won't be bringing her ass back. He's joking, Maria giggled as he slammed the front door behind him. It didn't sound like he was joking. Maria spread the chick flicks across the counter. So, what do you want to watch? How's Elle? Chloe was unconcerned about the movies. She's good. Now we have Dirty Dancing, Grease. Just good? What about Amo? Yep, both good. How about Twilight? She was crazily staring at her friend now. Maria, you're going to tell them where I am, right? You're going to tell someone? Taking a long breath, she whispered. I can't. Well, why? Luca's forcing me here. I don't want to be here. Maria was supposed to be her friend. She didn't understand. I just can't, Chloe. I'm sorry. Maria hadn't looked in her eyes until now. Listen, is he hurting you? Chloe could tell by the look on Maria's face that she already knew the answer. Still, she solemnly shook her head. Are you being mistreated in any way? Again, Maria knew the answer before Chloe even shook her head. Her voice sounded sure when she said, It won't be forever. I promise you, Chloe, he will let you go. Chloe wasn't so sure. I fear he won't ever let me go. Maria took a seat beside her. Elle misses you, a lot. They both do. She wanted so badly to cry. She missed El so much, and Amo. El says college just isn't the same without you, but she likes it so much better than high school. She doesn't get picked on anymore, and even though she wants you there with her, she still enjoys it. It was bittersweet to hear. She was so happy El was finally able to like school, but she was sad she couldn't experience it with her. Amo misses you too, but he's doing good. She went silent for a second, then continued with a smile on her face. He works a lot. He really loves his job. She laughed, wondering why everyone kept saying that. That's good. I'm glad. Turning serious again, she looked over at Maria, wanting her to know how much it meant to her that she could hear about how her friends were doing. Thank you. You're welcome, Chloe. Now, she stood, smiling as she picked up a movie. The Little Mermaid? Knowing that was Elle's favorite Disney movie, she smiled. Sounds good. Chapter 19. The Word She Would Soon Regret. Chloe felt like a girl again as she spent the day with Maria. She was happier than she had ever been here, and was so grateful that she had been granted the day with her. The only way her day would have been better was if Elle were here too. They were stuffing their faces with popcorn and watching too many chick flicks to count. By the time they moved on to Bring It On, it was getting pretty late. Looking out the window at the pitch black and then to the clock, she couldn't believe the time. He's usually off work by now. What is he doing? She shook her head from the thought, wondering why she had even wondered it in the first place. You miss him. Freezing in place, she didn't know where that thought had come from. It was like her voice, but it wasn't. What color do you like? Maria asked, setting down her nail kit. When Chloe didn't answer, Maria gave her a worried glance. Chloe? Trying her best to put her thoughts aside, she looked at the wide range of colors and saw the one she wanted hiding in the middle. Black. Maria gave her a scrutinizing look. Do you wear any other color besides black? Looking down at her black leggings and oversized dark gray sweater, she gave her own scrutinizing look. This is dark gray. Maria rolled her eyes. That is one shade away from black, and you know it. No, it's not. It's more like a shade and a half. What about this? She held up a different polish. I always wanted to see purple on you. It'll make your black hair and gray eyes pop. Hell no. No, I'll take the black. Ugh, come on, Chloe. Why do you always wear black anyway? I don't know. She had to think deeply a second about it. I guess I wear black because it doesn't draw more attention to me. I feel like if I wear a color, it will make people look at me more. You two are perfect for each other, Maria mumbled under her breath, too low for Chloe to hear properly. What did you say? Nothing. She smiled before grabbing two other small bottles of polish. Will you at least meet me halfway? Chloe stared at the two colors she picked. One was a very dark purple, and the other a dark navy blue. Both were close to black. Fine, she grumbled. Pick the one you like best. Not like it matters anyway. I'm not going anywhere. Yay, I like this one. Unsurprisingly, she handed her the dark purple one. Opening the polish, Chloe started to regret her decision when it didn't come out as close to black as she thought. She almost decided to grab the black instead, but she didn't want to get into an argument with Maria again, knowing Maria would win, like she always did when she wanted something bad enough. Beginning to paint her nails a pink nude, Maria asked a question Chloe didn't think she would. So, do you really hate it here? Stunned, Chloe looked at her questioningly. Are you going to tell Luca?
No. Her face held a definite, possible lie. Chloe pointed at the ceiling where possible cameras were.
Can Drago hear us?
No. It was another possible lie. Chloe looked at her, trying to decipher if it was the truth or not before she gave up.
If Luca weren't holding me against my will and would let me talk to Elle, then I might not hate it, but it's a strong might.
Do you like him?
She did not just say that.
What? Blowing on her nails, Maria had no problem elaborating.
Do you, you know, like Luca? Are you seriously asking me if I like the crazy and frightening, I might add, man holding me hostage? Am I in La La Land? What the hell is going on?
Maria held up her hands.
Geez, okay, I was just asking. Every girl falls in love with Luca immediately, so I was just wondering if he got to you as well.
Every girl falls in love with... Nope, don't care.
Maria's voice changed, turning almost ominous when she asked, Are you sure you're being held hostage?
Is she crazy like him, too?
What are you talking about, Maria? He won't let me leave. Drago watches every move I make. What does that seem like to you?
Sorry, I just... Never mind, I'm sorry, you're right.
A weird feeling started coming over her, not understanding why Maria wasn't the least bit concerned. It was like she was used to Luca doing this, like it was normal behavior, like it was his job or something.
Is Luca the vice president of the casino hotel?
The words seemed to spill from her mouth. Maria busted up with laughter.
That's a funny way of putting it. Who told you that?
Putting the brush into the bottle of nail polish, a cold chill began moving up her back.
Sal did?
When Maria looked over at Chloe, she saw the serious look on her face.
Crap, he hasn't told you yet.
The chill spanned her whole body now.
Told me what?
You really need to ask Luca about that.
That's exactly what Sal told me, she whispered.
Closing her bottle of nail polish, Maria put it back in the kit.
Yeah, for a reason.
Chloe shook her head.
No, I want you to tell me.
Maria shook her head. No way.
Please, you're my friend, Maria.
Staring at her, Maria seemed to be contemplating something before she stood up.
Come with me.
What the?
Hurry up,
she told her, quickly going to the stairs and making her follow. Running up the stairs after her, they went into the huge upstairs bathroom. Closing the door behind her, Maria locked the bathroom door, making Chloe more chilled than she already was.
You'll want to sit for this.
Taking a seat on the lip of the tub, Chloe felt like she was going to pass out.
Why did we come in here?
The bathrooms don't have any video or audio surveillance, she said like it was no big deal.
You said he couldn't hear us.
Yeah, well, I lied. Maria put her hands on her hips.
Now, do you want to know or not?
No. She was now sure she didn't by the way Maria was acting, but that was the exact reason she probably should know. Holding her breath, she uttered the word she would soon regret.
Yes.
Chapter 20.